The Last Hunt by Mario Diana. Digital narration performed by Phil Roberts.
1. It is almost spring, yet my life is over. The pale sun spills its warmth over the thinning patches of snow, but Merrick did not wake from the day's rest. The tightness in his chest finally stole his last breath, and now I am alone. But it is worse than that. Ark is now the alpha male. He will take control of the pack. He has made it clear I have been tolerated here because he respected Merrick, and my benefactor's protection has run its course. Ark stands, stiff-legged and proud, his eyes sweeping over the pack for any sign of challenge. I move through the clearing with my head low, tail tucked, edging sideways toward the periphery, where the four females prepare for the nightly hunt. I make it obvious that I am no threat to him, that I will be content with scraps and leftovers. His stare fixes on me like icicles. At half his size and strength, I am no threat to his supremacy. But apparently my submission is still not clear enough. In one great leap, he lands in front of me, fangs bared, shoulders arched. The females line up behind him. Kylie's liquid eyes, once gentle, now pass over me with indifference. We grew up together. We hunted together. But that is not enough for her to see me as a mate. Not anymore. I understand. I roll onto my side and expose my neck. My submission to Ark must be unquestionable. I beg for more time, for his acceptance within the pack, until the prey wakes from its winter slumber, until the squirrels return to the ground, and the deer climb up from the valley to feed on tender new sprouts. His reply is as clear as my plea. Silent and immediate, his fangs clamp around my throat, ready to rip me away from this miserable life. There is no sense in fighting. It would only make the passing more painful. So I prepare to surrender to the final sleep. His jaws thrash side to side, but they do not close. Fur tears free, but only fur. I open my eyes to Ark snarling over me. He does not finish it. He takes two steps back, head high, bared fangs. He is honoring Nurik's wishes one last time. I scramble onto my feet in disbelief and crawl toward the bushes behind the females. I will stay in the rear of the pack. I will only take the scraps. But his throaty growl stops me cold. His message is clear. I am not welcome. He is sparing my life, but I am to leave. Now, exile in this season means certain death. Perhaps the great white sleep will be merciful. 2. I followed them for a week, but I can't keep up anymore. Only once, and at the risk of my life, I managed to steal a broken leg bone from the pack's pitiful leftovers. If any of them had turned and found me there, Ark would have finished what he started. Their hunger was shallow compared to mine, yet even the few carcasses they left behind were ravaged. Only stains left in the snow. I know hunting in daylight is dangerous and stupid. The squirrels made that clear enough, as they hissed and showered my head with bits of pine. But I have no choice. The valley is warmer than our mountain, and the snow has nearly vanished. There has to be something there. Something sick or weak enough for me to survive one more day. I can almost see the ridge where Kylie and I chased a deer last spring, driving it until it plunged to its death. The memory warms me for a moment. The pack had eaten well that night. Merrick had been proud of me. The fresh meat had even softened Ark's contempt. My heart was lighter with hope for what lay ahead for me in the pack. There was nothing there now. I prowl through a wasteland of soggy moss, slick stone, and dripping icicles, my bones aching in the wind that poured down from the mountain. Then I catch it, the thick intoxicating scent of warm blood, spilled or spilling. It rushes into my flared nostrils. Its pulsing promise fills my head, sweeping my hunger into something sharper, clean. Purpose. A wounded stag limps across my path, terror in his eyes. I can sense his heart pounding, his breath shallow and raspy. He doesn't see me, the heavy fur at his neck, soaked dark with blood. Whatever he's fleeing from, the cramps in my belly are more immediate than any other danger. Their command to attack, far stronger than my fear of other hunters. I leap into the clearing with the reckless stupidity of starvation, fangs bared. My jaws ache to close on his throat, to drag him down and finish him before the predator that marked him can catch us both. Thunder cracks all around me. Something tears through my left shoulder. Hot and savage, like the slash of Ark's fangs. My front leg gives out. I fall to the ground, twisting toward my attacker. Yet there is nothing. Only the wind, carrying a foul stench, foreign and choking, thick enough to drown every other smell. Then I see him. The predator stands on two legs. He carries a long, shining object. An acrid scent again burns and sweetens the air at once. He runs toward us, bent at the waist, his breath fast and ragged with excitement. He's going to reach us in just a few moments. I know what I have to do. Forcing my remaining legs to obedience, I drag myself toward the cliff. By the time the attacker reaches this place, he'll only find a stag, collapsed beside a stunted bush. 3. The night chill finds me broken, but alive. Somehow I escaped the predator, though survival may not have left me any better off. I lay on my side in the darkness on a narrow, jagged ledge, which broke my fall into the deadly chasm. On one side, a sheer rocky cliff down into the valley. On the other, an impossible climb back to the ridge. My stomach's demands press harder than ever, but I force them aside as I test my limbs, one by one. My legs can still bear my weight. Despite the brutal fall, my bones remain unbroken. The predator's attack left only a slashing wound across my shoulder, low enough for me to lick clean. I received worse, but my conditions hasn't improved. Death by starvation on this ledge is my most likely destiny. The faint hope of escape is the only spark still keeping me alive. I almost give up and take the final leap into the void when the white disc in the sky shows me what I needed. A glistening trail stretches away from the ledge, only jutting rocks and thick moss, but wide enough for me. I cannot see where it ends, but it slants downward at an angle that made descent possible, if not easy. I test it, hesitantly, then step onto the path, fueled by the courage only a ravenous hunger can provide.